You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Not going to lie, I was hoping for a little bit better of a showing from the Sacramento Kings on the same day I dropped my first ever song, The Kings Don't Need Luka. But unfortunately, they get their six-game road trip off to a tough start. Offense goes ice cold as the Kings lose to the Charlotte Hornets 114-95. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, interviews, highlights, all of that, we have it right here for you. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. By the day, this podcast network continues to grow and continues to thrive. You need to check out some of the other podcasts on this network, whether it's team-specific like this one. You could listen to Locked On Podcasts for upcoming opponents for the Sacramento Kings, potential trade partners for the Sacramento Kings. You could also listen to the Locked On NBA podcast, which is just a, in general, overview of the entire league. They do great stuff over there. There's also Locked On Fantasy Basketball. If you call yourself a fantasy basketball fan, we also have Locked On NFL, Locked On MLB, Locked On College Athletics, all the Locked On you could possibly want. This is the network for you. I encourage you to branch out, check some of them out, but always make sure you return to your home and your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage, Locked On Kings. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. So yesterday, I did something I've never done before. Yesterday morning on Sports 1140 KHDK's The Drive, I aired my first ever song, and lucky me, my first ever song that I've ever written and sang, went on the radio instantly. It was a parody song, guys. If you didn't hear it, you can check it out. It's all over my social media, at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also find it on KHDK.com. You can also hear it at the end of yesterday's podcast, and it was a response to the Ringer song about Luka Doncic called Hallelujah. Now, this is all in good fun. It's not a legitimate take. I'm not trying to stir up any kind of controversy saying that that Marvin Bagley is better than Luka Doncic or is having a better season than Luka Doncic, or that the Kings could not use Luka Doncic at all whatsoever. That's a debate for another day, and quite frankly, the reason for me making the video was to kind of put a fun end, at least for me, to the debate between Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley, because if you listen to the song at the end, I ended it with poking a little bit of fun at the Phoenix Suns, but one of the lines at the end of the song was that the Kings and Dallas Mavericks are both very happy with their selections. The Kings love Marvin Bagley. They think he's going to turn into a legitimate star, and he has been a contributor to a team that is overperforming this season and is on the rise and looking to potentially make their way back into the playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks, while their roster may seem like they're underperforming, Luka Doncic looks like an absolute star, which is fantastic for European basketball. He is going to be the one to take the torch, if he hasn't already, from Dirk Nowitzki, and he could be the present and the long time future of the Dallas Mavericks organization, so I know they're thrilled and happy to have him. The point is, the NBA has benefited from both these draft picks doing well, and even though I poked fun at the Phoenix Suns at the end because they're really the only team in the Western Conference that's bad and completely out of this playoff race, even though I poked fun at them, they even got a stud in DeAndre Ayton, and he's playing fantastic over there too. All in all, this draft class last summer and for this season has been phenomenal, has been fantastic. A lot of great players delivering a lot of fun moments. I didn't even mention Jaren Jackson Jr., what he's been doing in Memphis, or Trae Young, what he's doing in Atlanta. There's just so much talent, and it's good for the NBA. But this is obviously not a podcast on breaking down song lyrics. This is a podcast about the Sacramento Kings. But I wanted to share that with you. I got so much great feedback on the song itself from listeners of the podcast, listeners of KHDK, just Kings fans in general on social media. So thank you so much to everybody who listened to it and who enjoyed it. Again, it was a joke. It's something fun, not something that I'll do regularly. Maybe I'll do more songs from time to time if the opportunities present themselves, rather. It's something I enjoyed doing. I had fun doing. I'm glad so many people enjoyed it as well. It was also pretty funny how many people were actually triggered by the song as well. People upset or thinking that it was a legitimate take, or people saying that I should be embarrassed for even writing something like that. It was embarrassing in the sense that I'm not a singer, but it was supposed to be. It's over the top. It's fun. And if people can't understand that, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But most of you really, really enjoyed it. So again, thank you for that. Unfortunately, the day couldn't be perfect, though. The Sacramento Kings had to drop their road trip opener in Charlotte against a Hornets team that just last week they defeated in Sacramento. The Charlotte Hornets bench was astronomical against the Kings, and the Kings had a 13-point lead in the second quarter, guys, but they just could not keep the shooting going. They went as ice cold as you could possibly go in the second half, and then the Charlotte Hornets did a really, really good job to take advantage, use their bench. Tony Parker looked fantastic. He looked about 8 years younger. He and that Charlotte bench just took advantage of a Kings team that was not connecting, was not hitting on any of their cylinders. They forced a lot of turnovers, and they created separation even with Kemba Walker on the bench. The Kings lose 114-95. They're now 23-22 on the season. On yesterday's podcast, I talked about how I would like to see the Kings go 4-2 on this road trip. I think that's they're capable of it. 3-3 is the ultimate goal, the expectation. You always want to go 500, so I wouldn't be unhappy with this team going 3-3. But that was with the expectation that the Kings were going to start this road trip, continue their win streak, and start it on the right foot. And unfortunately, last night they just were unable to do that. I mentioned the bench of the Charlotte Hornets. They were just top to bottom fantastic. I mean, listen to some of these numbers. Bridges had 15 points. Kid Gilchrist had 15 points. You got 11 points and 16 rebounds off the bench from Hernan Gomez, 14 points and 6 assists from Tony Parker. Marvin Williams was the one who played the most for Charlotte, 30 minutes. Kemba Walker only played 29. He had 23 points. It was a rough shooting night for him. He went 9 of 21 from the field. But Parker and that bench definitely did a very good job to pick up the slack and to help him out, really, because Kemba just did not have an on game. And normally this season, when Kemba is not on, the Charlotte Hornets really struggle. They shot 44% for the game. The Kings also shot 44%. Both teams had a rough night from three-point land. Both finished with 11 three-pointers. The Kings went 11 for 33. That's 33%. And the Hornets went 11 for 38 at 28%. Buddy Hield led the Kings in scoring with 24 points. He had the hot hand for the majority of the game. And once again, just an issue that's starting to rear its ugly head is when Buddy Hield gets going, the Kings are sometimes struggling to get him the ball and not taking advantage of Hield's ability to take over the game at times. So the Kings couldn't take advantage of Buddy Hield when he was shooting well, and unfortunately he was one of the few that was shooting well for the Kings in this game. Bad shooting game for Iman Shumpert, 3 of 9, only 7 points in 20 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica, only 2 points on 1 of 5 in 19 minutes. Willie Cauley-Stein had 8 points and 11 rebounds, so just missed the double-double in 27 minutes. Fox, 10 points and 8 assists, so he did a good job distributing the ball, but only scoring 10 points. He really didn't score too much until the fourth quarter, so they definitely needed that. Marvin Bagley did all of he could off the bench, 15 points and 8 rebounds, but he was a minus 21. When he was on the floor, he wasn't the biggest issue with the Kings defensively, but there were a lot of turnovers when Marvin Bagley was on the floor, some of them caused by him. Some of them not. I thought he and Giles forced things. This was a regression game for Harry Giles. He's been playing so well, but this time in 16 minutes, he picked up he had 6 fouls and only 1 point. So he regressed back a little bit to the Harry Giles of old from the beginning of the season, getting into foul trouble and not allowing him to really get into a flow. He did finish with 4 rebounds and 4 assists, which is nice. He also turned the ball over 4 times. I thought he and Bagley were trying to just do a little too much and trying to force a little too much. Now, Bogdan Bogdanović had a decent game, 17 points off of the bench. The Kings definitely need his scoring. And Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee actually tweeted out a very interesting stat. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to kill some time here as I try and open it up and find it, because I thought it was really interesting. And it talks a lot about just the effect that Bogdan Bogdanović has for this team off the bench. Now, I believe Bogey is capable of starting. I think he's overall more important to this team than Iman Shumpert is. No disrespect to Iman. I love what Iman brings, and I think he's fantastic for this team, and this Kings team has certainly benefited from having Iman as part of the roster. But Jason Anderson tweeted this stat out, if I can find it. I'm scrolling through and I'm not able to find it off the top, so I'll keep looking while I continue the conversation. But basically, it discussed and it had an overall record of how the Kings were playing with and without Bogdan Bogdanovic in that second unit. And I'm still not, unfortunately, finding the exact stat itself, but it was something. Oh, here it is. The Kings is bench. So when the Kings bench plays and Bogdan Bogdanovic is part of that unit, really leading that unit, they're 24-1. 24-1, meaning 20 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie compared to their opponent's benches. What that means is out of 25 games, the Kings bench has outscored the opponent's bench when Bogey is off of the bench, when Bogey is playing with that second unit. That just speaks to the effectiveness of the Kings' second unit when Bogey is leading that charge. So I thought that was a very interesting stat, and I think that speaks to how important Bogdan is to running the second unit with this Kings team. I'm okay with him coming off the bench if that's the kind of production that he is going to provide. I also think the Kings still need a piece or two off of that bench. I know there's been rumors about Jeremy Lin that I haven't really dived into because there's a lot of rumors circulating right now. There's also Harrison Barnes rumors. Of course, the Enes Kanter rumors. The Kings are going to be involved in a lot of trade conversations approaching the deadline for two reasons. One, they're legitimate buyers this year, or they at least seem to be because they're trying to make a playoff run. And two, they have their only team really with cap space. So teams are going to be trying to negotiate with them to take on a bad contract or to provide some cap relief. So some of these teams can either try and trade to acquire another asset, try and get a draft pick, or just open up room on the books for free agency this summer. So there are going to be a lot of rumors circulating. So don't read too far into that. But I'm okay with Bogdan Bogdanovic as the leader of that second unit. And he's been on the floor at crunch time with Hield and with Fox when it has mattered. So you're not really losing that production with him off or coming in off the bench. All in all, a disappointing game for the Kings. They turned the ball over way too much. They didn't take advantage of a third quarter where the Charlotte Hornets only managed 20 points. Usually the Kings would take advantage of a near or only 20-point quarter from their opponents, but the Kings provided only 23 points themselves. This is just the fourth game this season that the Kings have scored less than 100 points, and they are 1-3 in those four games, which means everything we already know. This Kings team needs to score. They use their offense to win games. And when the offense isn't on, with them being a average to bad defensive team, it's going to be struggle town. And it definitely was struggle town for the Kings last night. Also on yesterday's podcast, I really hope you enjoyed my conversation with The Athletic's Sam Amick. It's really a treat to be able to have him on. I don't think, if you don't understand or know Sam Amick or follow Sam Amick, I don't think you quite understand just how big he is in the world of sports media. He's such a kind guy, always takes the time to chat with me when he's able to at Kings games, always makes the extra effort to cover the Kings in a fair, unbiased, but still national perspective manner, which I always appreciate. And he broke the news, broke the article like we talked about yesterday with the that Vlade Divac held the conference call. And I've alluded to my opinions on this entire story for the past couple of podcasts, and I said that today I would share my thoughts and feelings on it. So that is what I'm going to do here over the next couple of minutes. When I first initially heard the story, I'm not going to lie, when I read the story, my first initial reaction was once again anger. Anger from the Kings fan perspective of why is this what we're talking about? If you haven't heard my rant in one of my earlier podcasts, it's called Drama, Drama, Drama. It was a couple of months ago when the initial news came out that Dave Yeager had kicked Brandon Williams, assistant general manager Brandon Williams, out of practice. You can go and listen to that. There's a good rant in there of my perspective, my feelings on the whole situation of people talking about the drama in the front office and the front office really tripping over themselves and getting in the way of the team that's actually excelling on the floor. And those feelings flared back up when I initially read this report. What really caught my eye and frustrated me was the fact that Sam Amick discussed or brought up that there's a chance that it's not just Brandon Williams that has been involved behind the scenes at the front office meddling in affairs. It's also minority ownership that has been trying to take power or take position away from lead owner and head owner Vivek Ranadive. And again, it felt to me like it had nothing to do with basketball, which being a basketball team and a franchise. Now, I'm aware the NBA is a business. I'm aware that owning an NBA team is extremely lucrative, regardless of the fact of how much you're playing, paying players, paying for facility, paying just for the payrolls of all the staff. Owning an NBA franchise, being one of 30 owners in the world on the planet that actually can say, they own a franchise. Now, there's a lot of minority owners with the Kings, so it's more than just 30 people. But the point is, being part of only 30 very unique and very specific groups of people that can say that they own or are involved in the operations of an NBA franchise is very lucrative. It's something that it's a pristine class, right? And you make so much money off of that. So I'm aware that there is a business side to things. And I'm also aware, and Sam Amick said this in the interview yesterday, that there are a lot of people that own this Kings team that aren't used to not having their way. They're used to being the head honchos, and I can imagine a minority owner that is the head honcho of their company, but playing second, third, or fourth fiddle to Vivek, to Vlade, and to others on the operations of the team. I can understand how that might get under their skin a little bit. My response to that is suck it up and deal with it, because that's not your role. That's not your forte. I appreciate you as an investor. I appreciate the hand that you had in keeping the Kings here in Sacramento. I will be forever grateful to Vivek and to all the owners for being a part of that. And I also know there are a lot of great owners that are great people. Even if they disagree with how the Kings are being run, they're good people. I'm not suggesting that these are power-hungry House of Cards or Game of Thrones people that are just trying to overthrow so they can have more power themselves. I really just don't believe that narrative. Even with Brandon Williams, I just don't believe it. I think it's a little bit short-sighted to try and point out or establish or add kind of an evil persona to these people. It's how they believe the business and the Kings should be run that's getting in the way of progress with this franchise, which is unfortunate. So my frustrations initially were with them. It was just, you know, why are we talking about this again? Why is it becoming a power thing? Why does it have nothing to do with basketball itself? Because if it had everything to do with basketball itself, then there'd be no need to complain, because everybody on the planet has seen growth from this team. Everybody on this planet has seen enough from Vlade and enough from Dave Yeager to say, now there's still a debate out there whether Vlade is the right GM for the future. I personally don't think there's a debate, but I know there is one out there. I also know that there's a debate amongst Kings fans and basketball minds if Dave Yeager is the right head coach for the future. Again, I don't think there should be a debate, but I'm aware that there is, just because my personal feelings on it are different doesn't mean that they are, or that argument isn't out there, right? But everybody has seen growth from this Kings franchise. Nobody expected the Kings to be 23-22 through 45 games. Nobody expected the Kings to be in the hunt in the Western Conference. I don't think anybody expected the Kings really to be buyers at the trade deadline for legitimate talent that could potentially help them win a championship, not just bad contracts to try and acquire a draft pick. Nobody expected the Kings to be where they're at right now. The plan is working, and that's the most important point I can make. The plan changed, began anew with the trade of DeMarcus Cousins. Now, you've heard me preach this before. I'll just say it again really quickly. When DeMarcus Cousins was traded, everything changed. Vlade flipped the script. He tried something new. He committed to a plan that the Kings have stuck to over the last two seasons. And lo and behold, the results are right here before our eyes. Now, this is a harder conversation to have after a loss than after a win, because I know personal fan feelings, they're disappointed at the effort of the Kings last night. But again, perspective is key. 23-22. If I had told you that at the beginning of the season, that the Kings would be 23-22 at this point, you would have danced in the street and basically felt like the Kings had won an NBA title. It is progress. The Kings are following a set plan. It is working. They're going in the right direction, and that's all that matters. So to me, everybody on the planet can see that, which I know means the minority owners and Brandon Williams can see that. So them trying to overthrow or trying to make changes or meddling in the background has nothing to do with basketball. It has to do with power. And unfortunately, if we're going to have a power conversation and these issues are going to be power-centric with this organization, nothing's going to matter with what happened on the court, because the Kings will always be a laughingstock and the Kings will always get in their own way. Those are my thoughts on the entire situation. Sam provided a lot of great clarification yesterday, and hopefully, well, first and foremost, let me say this. Vlade Divac, the way he handled it, I absolutely admire. I think Vlade has earned the respect that he, quite frankly, demanded. That's the sign of a good leader there. I understand he's in a tough position going into the last year of his deal, which is next season, and going into a summer before that time. But I asked Sam Amick about his perspective on that, and he provided a very encouraging timetable. And he really taught me something. He shared really the benefits of the Kings waiting and taking their time before offering Dave Joerger a contract extension or before offering Vlade a contract extension. There's no really rush for the Kings. It may feel like it from my point of view. It may feel like it from a fan point of view, but Sam Amick provides a lot of good perspective. I was thinking about grabbing clips and playing it for you here, but you really need the context of the whole interview. So I encourage you to either go back and listen to the interview again if you already have, or if you haven't yet, once this podcast is over, or really even pause the podcast right now, go to the middle of yesterday's show and just listen to the entire conversation that I had with Sam. You're going to like what you hear. I think you're going to learn a lot and really appreciate what Sam Amick had to say. A bit of housekeeping news for you. Due to Martin Luther King Day on Monday, the Sports 1140 KHDK offices are closed, which means I will not be in studio to do another episode of this podcast. So Monday, there will be no Locked On Kings podcast. We will be back on Tuesday to be able to break down all of the action from the extended weekend, which begins with the Sacramento Kings taking on the Detroit Pistons on Saturday. I was looking at this game on paper before the Charlotte game and thinking this was going to be the tougher matchup between the two, but now this feels like a game that the Kings have to go out and get. So they have the Detroit Pistons on Saturday, and then things really do not get easier for this Kings squad on this trip. And I was actually looking ahead to the schedule beyond this trip, and the Kings are entering a significantly potentially dangerous stretch. Now, I still expect them to get the job done over this road trip, and I don't think the Charlotte loss has derailed them as much as maybe some fans think it has. But the Brooklyn game on Monday, which I will talk about and we'll recap also on Tuesday's episode, this Brooklyn team I really like. I like the pieces that they have. I like what they've shown, the growth. I love Jared Allen, Russell, everything that the Nets are doing, I can appreciate, because there's been comparisons with what the Nets are doing or what the Nets are trying to do and what the Sacramento Kings are doing and what they're trying to do. The Nets have been called the Kings of the East, and the Kings have been called the Nets of the West in a lot of conversations. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle, and I don't think that's going to be a walk in the park for the Kings, despite the fact that they do have a better record then Brooklyn. Then following that, you have Toronto, Memphis, and LA, three very losable games, but also games in there that I think the Kings should be competitive in, and a couple wins to be had if they play the right way. But I think this Detroit game on Saturday is really important for the Kings to get back on the right foot. Now, they did have success against Detroit last week in their 112-102 win, but remember, that was against a Detroit team that was without their best scorer in Blake Griffin. I expect Blake Griffin to be playing on Saturday, so that could add an interesting wrench into things. I feel like this, I wouldn't say must win by any means, but this feels like a game that, for momentum's sake and for the remainder of the road trip, the Kings have to go out and get back on the right track, get two games over 500 once again before they go into these interesting battles in Brooklyn and in Toronto and Memphis and in LA against the Clippers. So we'll talk about that Pistons game. We'll also talk about the Brooklyn Nets game. You can follow along with both those games with me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKDK. You can also email me at any time if you want to talk about anything that we discussed on this show, past shows, future shows, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Great way to reach me, and I always try and do my best to respond to everybody there. If there's ever been someone that has reached out to me and I haven't responded to them, sometimes they just get lost in the shuffle. So please send me an email again or just ask me to respond, stuff like that. And if I see it, I promise I'll do my best to respond one way or another. Thank you to everybody who listened to the shows this week. Again, sorry about not having a podcast episode on Tuesday. I hope yesterday's episode with the song and with Sam Amick made up for that. And we'll do everything we can next week to make up for the fact that there is no Monday podcast. It'll be easier, though, if I can come in on Tuesday and talk about two great Kings wins in Detroit and in Brooklyn. You definitely have to get one out of the two, but two for two would be fantastic and would make my job and my life a lot easier. I know you would agree with that as well. Thank you so much again for another fantastic week here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.